Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another amazing episode of the Oversharon Show, the best darn show on the internet, as I knock everything over as I start the show. We have a guest again today, returning guest we're so happy about. But before we introduce her, we're going to read today's quote, and then Sharon is going to pull a card. Today's quote, what's that?
Her usual.
Oh, okay, you have a deck, right? I might have one. Okay, yeah. Today's quote is, it is better to travel well than to arrive. And that is from Buddha.
Yes.
It is better to travel well than to arrive.
On this journey called life.
That's right.
Right. So let's see what the universe tells us today.
Let us. And I'm going to pin you in.
The Five of Cups. This is like walking away from a situation.
I like it. He's like, yeah, I like how the cups are, it looks like blood is coming out of them. That's amazing.
Wine or blood?
Yeah, it's like a really thick wine. Yeah, the blood of Christ. Could it be?
Could it be?
Oh, and the dark robe. Look, he's matching you. He's got the black shirt on, or the black robe.
That's me.
It is you
walking away
with the tower. I like that because it kind of shows, especially with that tower in the background, because it shows like maybe something you're focused on and you were working really hard on and then just got ruined. But what you don't realize is you still have the two behind you to sustain you or to, work with. It's like the unseen love. The one that's pining over you when you're pining over what you lost. Nice. What do you think, Sharon, about that card?
Cool. Any thoughts on the card? Michelle, our returning guest?
I think it's cool how one of you said blood and one of you said wine. That's like all about perspective, right? I also love that it's about leaving something behind and moving forward, because that's just exactly where I'm at in life. And it also matches the quote in some way.
Yes, like the journey, of course.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Another cup again. We keep getting cups.
Yes, we keep getting cups.
All about the feels.
Oh my gosh, we keep getting cups. It doesn't matter. I can pull from any deck. I like have like four decks and I can pick from any deck and I've been pulling cups.
Yeah.
It's been about emotions lately, you guys. I've been crying my eyes out.
And since that trend started, I think Sharon pulled the Three of Cups and then I pulled one on the same episode and it was the Four of Cups.
Yes.
Hi, you're just right in the journey. 3, 4, 5.
Yep.
Yeah.
Step at a time.
Yeah. Fun stuff. So today we have our returning guest, Michelle Albers, and she's of JD Wellness. And last time we had her on, we had a nice chit chat. I'll have to look up the episode. Can't remember it right now, but she's back on. We want to talk to her about what she's been up to. She's been very busy. She released a book and it was about Reiki. So we're going to see what we get into about Reiki today. So welcome, Michelle.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be back. These are
absolutely.
I love chatting with people who like to dig in and dive in and like start at the surface labor and then just deep dive right out of the gate. That seems like what we do when we show up together. So whether it's in person or on podcast, right?
That's the Oversharon Show.
That's right. That's how it goes. Yeah. I wrote a book. I wasn't intending to write a book. It just sort of, I just wanted a Reiki manual. My teacher had her own manual that she used. And I was like, I just need to get my outline, you know, in a better functional place. And then it started happening. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, this isn't a manual. I mean, it is a Reiki teaching manual, but it's also a book because I ended up sharing life experiences and just my resistance to Reiki to start with. And kind of my, you know, path from going to what is this magic to what is this magic, you know, which is a totally different thing, perception, right?
Right.
So it was just this really cool and amazing. And it was one of those things where you ever have those moments where like you don't expect to feel really vulnerable or like you think you're doing one thing and then it evolves or morphs into another. And next thing you're like, and this is also a really big part of my growth. This is a really big part of my personal journey that I am challenging myself to do something that I didn't know it was this big, right? Like the book itself, like it's not about the book itself. It's about my journey of writing the book, getting really clear as a Reiki teacher of how I want to show up in that space, and understanding my experiences and my resistance and how like universe keeps like plopping things in front of me to like, yeah, you think you're not going to do this, but we're going to keep showing you that you are. And eventually you're either going to come around or the 2x4 is coming your way, right? Like that's at least how it feels to me. So that's what that book was to me. I ended up sharing a story about my mom that was really personal, that happened with me in a float tank after she died. And had I not opened to Reiki, I never would have been open to that experience. And so it's just another, and that story in and of itself is also a story of like the ethics of Reiki and how you can use it or not. And there's so many, I debated on putting it in. And then a friend was like, Michelle, like if you're open to sharing that story, it's actually, it teaches ethics, it teaches compassion, it teaches how Reiki may or may not work. It's just, she's like, there's so many layers to that story. Just one, that's just one of them. But you know, how my different teachers showed up and taught Reiki their way versus, you know, because I feel like Reiki is a very personal practice. And I think some of the things that I missed along the way, and I don't think this is like because my teachers didn't present it this way. I think it's because I was very in my head at that time and I couldn't get into my heart because I was learning how to trust it because it felt uncertain to me. Right. And we have uncertainty. A lot of times we go into that protect mode or fight or flight. And so I just couldn't understand or hear all the things they were telling me. And I remember thinking, okay, this is the foundation of Reiki and this is how we do the things. But ultimately it didn't open to me until it became my own practice. I didn't want to do A, B, and C like my teachers did A, B, and C because they weren't congruent with how I showed up in the world and how I worked with my spiritual team or, you know, my guardian angels, my spirit guides, universe, source, creator, doesn't matter the word, like how I connected with my highest self didn't work in that same way. Cause the way when I'm learning something, I get very logical in my brain first and then I bring it in. It's almost like, so in the like Thai language, I can't believe we're going to Thailand already, but in the Thai language, the word like saying I understand is the phrase Khao Jai. And it means I take it and I put it in my heart. And like that for me is, that's learning. Like that is the path. So I'm a lifelong learner. I'm a lifelong seeker. I think that's it. Like for me, when it's in my head, I haven't fully like embraced it yet. But when it moves into my heart, then it's like, ah, there it is. This is meant for me. If it doesn't go there, it's not meant for me. So it took me a while to get there. So that was a long way of saying, like, I did not intend to write this book, but then I wrote this book.
That's awesome. You mentioned a float tank. I've heard of these things. Like I had never like even known much about them. And then I saw somebody mentioned something somewhere. And then a friend of mine mentioned it too. And I'm just like, where did these come from? I never even knew about these things. I guess they're kind of a new thing.
Well, they have another name, like a deprivation tank. So it's the basically you're in there, no sound. Well, the way I like to do it, they have like pretty lights and music you can play. But for me, when I go to a float tank, it's very much about I call in my Reiki and then I get quiet and it's like a Reiki journey, which gives me usually downloads and insights and shows me things maybe I don't necessarily want to see, but apparently I'm ready to see. That's usually how a float tank works for me. So I asked them to turn off all the lights. I asked them to not play music. And then I learned the hard way that I also have to ask them to tell me how they're going to call me back. Because when I'm on a journey, I'll incorporate whatever it is that's trying to get me out of the tank
into the
wherever
journey.
I am.
That's hilarious.
And I did that. And I was in the tank for much longer than I should have been. Oopsies. And they didn't like come in and wake me up or come bring me back. You know what I mean? So I learned that and I'm more respectful of people's times. I didn't know that was going to be a thing for me, but I should have. And so now I'm just like, I need you to tell me how I'm coming back so that I can plant that seed so that my subconscious or my guides will tell me journey's over, time to go back.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Okay. So it's, you literally are floating. Like you're not gonna, it's like so salty or saline that you won't.
Yeah. You just float.
That's
and
amazing.
So for me, I don't even like if I'm floating and my thumbs come in and touch my thighs, like, nope, I don't want anything touching me. The water is the same temperature as your body. There's no noise. So literally your breath and your heartbeat are so loud. It's like so loud, but it's also like this, it's almost like this, like primal nurturing it's almost like you feel like you're in the womb again. But I remember what that feels like, but that's how I would imagine it feels like. It's just my pulse and my breath. And it is the most calming. Now this is somebody who's comfortable with meditation and being quiet. And I use Reiki to get answers. I think if you are not a person who's comfortable in the quiet space, it might be more like a torture as opposed to
torture chamber.
Yeah. So I think it depends on where you're at and who you are and how you like to go inward. But for me, it is my favorite. And, you know, I usually I'll book as long as the place will let me. Hour is not long enough. I mean, it happens in a blink. I'm gone. And then it's like time to come back. And I'm like, oh, but then I wake up and I'm like, okay, I need a piece of paper and a pen, or I just got answers to all these things that have been troubling me. Or now I realize I have all this work that I want to like take the next steps towards, because I've been in this swirl, and that gave me, it's kind of like pulling a tarot card. Like that's how I use tarot too, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm in this swirl, I'm in this funk. I don't really have a next step. Mm-hmm. I'm asking my highest self to show me what I'm missing, because I'm stuck in the suck is what I've been saying lately. Mm-hmm. Like some days suck, but they don't all have to. But I used to live a life where they all sucked. Because it was just hard, you know, I made life so much harder than it had to be. And I wasn't connected to myself. And I was full blown in controlling the external, which is humanly impossible, you know, so it was just tricky. So it's been an interesting little journey of events that have led me to, I mean, my deepest passion is to make connections and ways to help other people not be in pain, to help them get out of the suck, to help them find their inner power and show up in the world in a way that is confident, that has self-trust, that has self-love, and that like they know their self-worth. And like, because that changed my whole life. And I didn't know that stepping into my teacher training for Thai massage was going to change my life the way it did. But it literally, I mean, to be fair, it's been some of the most challenging pieces of my life, right? Because I was living a life of avoidance and I didn't realize it. And I think for the most part, that's true for most people. Like we don't want to go in and look at the pain. We will do more in our life to avoid pain than we will to seek out pleasure. But I don't remember who said that. One of my teachers said that. Somebody I study with or saw a podcast with or something said something along those lines. I never remember who said it, but how powerful is that? Like we do more to avoid pain than we do to seek pleasure. Avoiding pain isn't pleasure. But if you have those moments in life where you have, like where you're literally in a moment of joy, when you're in that pocket of joy, like it's liberating, it's free, it's love. That's how it feels to me. And I used to live in fear and anger and control and, Band-aids protecting pain points in my life that have like happened on my journey. And I think the Reiki book was part of that. I think when I started like figuring out how to teach, and because Reiki literally changed my life. I mean, the resistance to it, the fear I had around it, the understanding that, oh, this isn't what I thought it was. It helped me open my mind to just live and let live. Take what's yours and give back as much as you can to make the world a better place. Like one choice at a time ripples out into the world. And my hope is it inspires people to make one choice at a time of in the space of love and highest self to make the world better. Right. Like that's it. So it's not that easy. It's not that simple. And some of the pains and traumas, it's just not time yet, you know, and that's okay. But the more we can soften and surrender and trust divine guidance, whatever that looks like for you, it can be your highest self. Like I hate words around that stuff. And I think we talked about this last time. Like it doesn't matter to me how you define it. It's how you feel it. Like you're not alone. You have help and support in this world. Where you seek that and where you find it, that's your choice. And what choice you make in that will change your world one way or the other. Like we're either taking a step toward life or we're taking a step toward, I suppose you could say, death. I think of that with food, right? Like our food is either our fuel or our poison. It's one or the other. It can't be both. That's kind of.
Brandon, do you have something to ask?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, can you speak a little bit about the fear that you had surrounding Reiki and like what you thought it was versus what it really is and what it became for you?
Yeah. So for me, it was definitely attached to or connected with religion, because I grew up in a family that was very, like, I just had very specific beliefs, very, very, very specific beliefs. And so when Reiki came in and my teachers were starting to talk about spirit guides and past lives and like the universe, and, you know, they were using, I mean, I had very distinct words and specific words that I used for my spiritual path, which I wouldn't even have called it that. I would have called it my religion. And so I just, and then I had like this, I remember I said to, I think it was a friend, I said, I don't want to step into devil's work. And she was like, well, that's a big word. And I was like, that's the word that I've been taught. Like, what else is it? If it's not like, right, it's either for the highest good or it's not. And again, not a word I would have used. It's either for the heavens or the opposite. Those were the words I was using at that time. And I just remember thinking, I don't want to play with fire. I don't want to open doors that can't be closed. And I didn't, here's the thing. At that time, I didn't realize it, but I didn't have self-trust that my faith was strong enough to, like, I somehow thought I was missing something, some sort of a link that would keep me protected. And it was Reiki that taught me, like, I have a direct link. I can connect any time. I have source within me at all times. And it's not about demons and angels. It's about energy and spirit. And I'm not going to like go down a road of whether or not one or the other exists or any of that stuff. I believe in energy, and we're just going to keep it there for today. Just keep it simple and not complicate things. Plus everybody has their own belief system around all that stuff, and I'm open to all of it. But what I was most afraid of was dark energies. I didn't want to open a door or crack a window that would allow something in. And I didn't want to, open anything that I couldn't handle. And I asked every teacher and every person in that world that I knew and that I met questions around, I just don't understand how you stay protected. Like, if you're opening a door, how do all the things not come in? I don't get it. And all of that, what I understand now, pointed to trust in myself, trust in spirit, trust in universe, trust in being divinely guided, trust in the light. Let's just put it there. You know, now I think, gosh, I mean, on some level, this is how it feels to me. And I'm going to say, like I say all the time, like, I could be wrong about everything. I only show up in what feels congruent and right to me and authentic in the now. I could change this tomorrow based on my life experience, right? But how it feels to me is we all have energy. We all are energy. We all have light. And in some level, we're all connected by that energy. And I feel like Reiki has just sort of validated that, for lack of a better word, for me over and over and over again. Because I took a class, and then I just kind of played with it with family and friends and let it go. And then I took another class years later and kind of played with it and let it go. And then at some point I did a distance session. And in the distance session, I had one of those moments where it's like, you can't make this shit up. Like, I just focused on an area in their body when they weren't in the room that felt like, my hands turn on when I do this. I'm like, oh, there they are. Somebody's here. Which then old me would be like, you're such a dork. That's not true. You know, but now is like, no, someone's here. Like, we're working Reiki right now. It's going somewhere. Someone needs it. But I would work with them, and I would then call them, because I always did it with somebody I knew. And I would say, you know, hey, this is how it felt. And at that time I wasn't feeling much. It was just every once in a while I would get a tingle. I said, it just felt like I did a lot with your throat today. And I don't really, that's all I got for you, but I did feel some Reiki flowing. And I do trust that Reiki works whether I feel it or not. And I always ask that it be full and complete. And, you know, let me know if you felt anything, or if anything feels, you know, good to you, or if you had any. I always invite people to kind of just be open to intuition or any sort of feelings that they get during the session. And she was like, I can't believe you worked on my throat. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then she wanted this whole thing about, she had like some thyroid stuff happening, and she had like, she was having trouble like getting the courage to speak her truth. And so there were all these things. And I was like, okay, maybe there is something to this. And it was still a maybe for me. How many like yeses do I need to hear before I truly like go, yeah, this is real. But I still was questioning it. I still didn't know. But over and over and over again, I have been shown and I've felt in my being that this is real and it's good and it's not coming from a bad place. And it's how I protect myself. It's how I get answers. It's how I, you know, I didn't know I was an empath. I didn't even know what that word meant. Sensing other people's energies, really, like empath or not, doesn't matter. It's feeling other people's energy in the room, and it would drain me. It would be like energy vampires everywhere. And I was like, oh, why am I so tired all the time? And then I learned Reiki and learned how to put up my bubble, and anything that's not for my highest good bounces off my bubble. I have like, I'm my own generator now, man. Thank you, Reiki. Woo! It's amazing. It's a totally awesome. Different world. And then that makes it, I'm able to hold space for other people and myself in a different way. Because part of that is, I mean, if you think about the layers of what Reiki can teach you, it's healthy boundaries. It's overcoming fear. It's trust. It's faith. It's love and divine connection with the human race or just with life, right? Yeah. Like crystals, feeling that crystals feel different in my hands. You know, I mean, it's endless. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. And it opened the door to tarot, which is another thing. I was like, I don't know. That feels like, you know, dark, dark and light, if you're just going to keep it simple. And it's like, yeah, no, I don't. Tarot is psychology. That's a whole nother, you know, a whole nother door to open and unpack. But it took me a really long time, like to the point where I took like my Reiki manual, which may or may not be in alignment with how Reiki wants people to navigate. I wasn't a teacher at that time. I was a brand new student. And I literally took my book and I brought it to my pastor. And I just said, I need to know if these symbols like have anything scary in them. Like, I just need to know if they're safe. Right. Cause I didn't want to play with like some weird symbol that was going to bring in something. And I was so grateful because I didn't know how it would be received in that moment. And he was very gracious. And he just said, I'm looking at the symbols and I don't see anything that's you know, trouble here. And he said, you know, how did he put it? He said, I'm not sure I believe all these other things you're talking about or how I feel about these other things you're talking about, but this is, you know, your journey, your choice. And, I can only tell you what you're asking me. And he was very gracious. I don't know. I wasn't expecting that response. So, because outside of that, my response to any of these things that I was doing was very judgmental and based in fear and perpetuated my own fear and self-doubt that I was having. So for the fact that he showed up in that gracious way was another example for me of my spirit guide saying, yes, yes, explore this. Yes. See where you land. Yes. Yeah.
You know? Were those symbols that you showed him, were they symbols that are part of Reiki, or were they symbols that you had created yourself?
No, they're part of Reiki. So the Sui Reiki system has symbols that you don't learn in level one, but you learn three of them in level two, and then you learn another one in level three. And then if you choose to teach, you learn two more to help pass attunements. And so,
and they're like drawings of symbols or?
Yep. Yep. There's symbols that you draw. You can draw them in your third eye. You can draw them with your hand. You can draw them with your fingertips. You can draw them with your tongue and give Reiki through breath. There's so many different ways you can.
Oh, well, use that reminds me of mudras.
Yeah. Similar or yantra, like yantras are like sacred symbols. Right. Okay. And so, I mean, the short version is like, these are symbols that Usui saw on the mountain, you know, when he was doing a meditation to try and unpack all these things and figure things out. Super short, condensed version. The history of Reiki is, honestly, there's several different variations too, right? Like there's the westernized version, and then there's, you know, the Japanese version, and there's, you know, living traditions are complicated in that way. Because if the originator of, which is, I mean, let's be honest, I mean, Reiki or energy or healing, energy healing, we'll just call it that, has been around way before Usui Reiki, right? And there's many different branches that people have sort of found or discovered or uncovered or created that works for them. Sometimes I wonder, you know, like, is it all the same? Maybe.
I think it probably is, but we just give it different names.
And what resonates with us and what works best with our being is what works for us. And it's what comes to us and is called to us, you know? I do, there's just so many layers that we can, you know, kind of talk about within that. I think part of this comes from me. I used to be a really rigid thinker and very logical and linear and It's funny because the more I open up now, the more I feel a little less grounded on in some way, right? Like I can kind of go all over the place with my ideas, and like the open mindedness has almost made me too much sometimes. When I reel it back in, Michelle, reel it in. You're a little too far out there. Like only because it's chaotic and it's not anything that's useful. It's not that it's too far out there. It's just that it's all over the place and it's not helpful if it's not organized in some way. And so that's, I think, how I kind of see my inner world too. It used to be like this mess that I used to just kind of tuck into all these different boxes that was crying to get out and seen and heard and loved. And instead what I was doing is I was trying to control everything external, and all this external control wasn't actually working or doing anything. It was just hiding the internal pain that was trying to just be seen and loved. So it's just,
That whole like feeling like grounded on some foundation of truth or whatever is kind of a sink, because I was just thinking about it too. But like it, I remember going through similar feelings just in learning about and being open-minded about things like this, right? Where I'm just, you know, because I also grew up in this like Christian based religion where everything was like, no, don't look into that because that's evil. You know, don't look into this because that's evil. And so like opening my mind to like the possibilities of things being like other than what I was taught could potentially make one feel ungrounded. And could make you, I guess, maybe lose your mind a little bit because you're like, what am I standing on? You know? But
yeah,
I think
like a tower, right?
Yeah, the tower card. Yeah. And it's, but it's okay. I think we all have to have those moments of like questioning what we're thinking and what we've been taught so that we can come to a place of, I think it helps us come to a place of compassion and love for other people, because there was so much judgment, right, with all of that. And so opening your mind to these other possibilities is not only compassion for other people, but also compassion for yourself too. I don't know. I just, I don't know where that came from. I just channeled that, whatever that was. But yeah.
Right? I love that you just said, I just channeled that. That's Reiki, man. That's it. Like, that's it. I mean, it's not just Reiki, but that's just one of the things that Reiki opened up for me that was, you know, divine downloads. They're real. They're real for me. They don't have to be real for everyone else, but they're real for me. I trust my intuition beyond all. In the book, I talk about, you know, I used to like hope, pray, but it never really felt real or like anything. Not that I didn't believe or have faith or have any of that, but it just didn't feel connected. It just felt like, well, I guess we'll see. And it felt super like, I don't know, it didn't feel like it was doing anything, even though I was supposed to believe that it was. And I did believe that it was, but then this whole Reiki experience happened and really just, I think the other thing that happened pre-Reiki was I just started learning to look within myself and trusting my soul and just like listening there. Like, I know I got some sort of wisdom within me that's not mine necessarily. I mean, it is mine innately, right? But it's not mine. It's a higher, better, bigger power than me, right? Like, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was messy coming out. But now I like that, you know, the first time I went into a float tank that was like a legit download. I mean, I mean, it was like in the float tank, all these thoughts started coming in, like claircognizancy type thoughts, right? Like that flash of knowing. And then next thing I know, I'm like, I have all of the titles or the like segments of what is now my Choose Yourself program. Like, these are the topics and the pain points that you need to discuss. That is the journey to open you to choosing yourself every chance you get, so that you can show up in the world from a place of authenticity, from a place of an empowered place of love that offers your uniqueness to the world, which is like, we all have a reason we're here. We all have something to give. And the way we show our love, I'm just going to put it that way, like our gifts, our talents, our skills, the way we shine that into the world is unique to us. No one else does it like us. I think That's a hard thing to come to when you're learning a new thing. Like, I'm going back to my Thai massage days now. When I first started Thai massage, I mean, that unpacked a shit ton of fear for me because I didn't want to partner with anybody I didn't know because I was afraid of failure. I didn't want to hurt anyone. I didn't want necessarily other people touching me because that just was weird. And it's like, why am I even doing this if I'm afraid of like that? Like, that doesn't even make sense. So it's like, well, I know I'm supposed to be here, so I got to get over that and learn how to move through that. And then it's like, okay, so I'm doing that. And when I first started, I took it personally if somebody would get a session and then they wouldn't come back, or if they would get a session and like you could tell it wasn't the best thing ever, you know? And then there came a point, and I want to say it, and this is sad, but I think it's kind of how it works, right? After you get so many hours or sessions in, it's like suddenly you become more of an expert than a novice. And I think it was like 5 years in, I was like, you know, I think it's good that I'm not for everybody. I think it's good that some people come to me and choose somebody else instead, or even a different modality. Like, I need to accept and learn and understand that the people who are meant for me, or the people who I'm meant for, the people who were meant to learn and grow and evolve together, come through my door because something guides them there. And I believe that's spirit, universe, Reiki, whatever, right? Like, our energies are out there going, hey, I'm over here. We're supposed to connect. Like, I met you guys that way. Like, I don't even remember. I said yes to the Terrible Podcast, I think it was.
Yeah, the Terrible Podcast.
Never would have said yes to that before. And for some reason, terrible. I was like, yeah, I'll do that. Do that. And then next thing I know, we're in Arizona on a retreat together. Like, what the heck? Never would have happened before because I wouldn't have been open to that. I've been like, yeah, no, I am not going to speak about these things that I do that have been poo-pooed and judged my whole life in public. Like, heck no, I'm not standing like that. And now I'm like, yeah, I'm done hiding. I posted the other day that I was a tarot reader and I was not hiding it anymore. Right away, someone popped on and told me they were sad for me and afraid for me and they hope I find what I'm looking for. And I was like, thanks. And I have full disclosure. What I wanted to say was I wanted to defend myself. Mm-hmm. And my partner was like, Michelle, you don't need to defend yourself and it's not going to go anywhere. Just say thanks and move on. And the cool thing about that was A, I was okay with that response. I was okay with not defending myself. And B, it didn't, like, I didn't hang on that. Like, it's not still bothering me. I'm just like, she's where she is and I'm where I am. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling bad about it. I'm glad I'm not there anymore because I was that person, which is like, oh, I was that person. You know, but then also like, she's not a bad person. She's actually quite lovely. Like,
yeah. At the end of the day, she's looking out for your well-being. You know, mm-hmm. She's just
coming from a place of compassion.
Yeah.
And she's coming from that. She announced that. I'm like, yes. And it's also judgment. And I feel that too. You know? Yeah.
Well, there's a third option too. You know, you could send her to the Oversharing Podcast. I think we have an episode where we talk about that. So you could be like, blame these guys, you know.
Yeah. Stick around us. No. I'm learning not to take, I used to take everything personally. But why? It was because I needed to feel accepted and loved. That was the only way I felt it, is if somebody approved of me. And now I'm like, yeah, no, it's not going to work that way. I am who I am, and we may or may not vibe, and I'm okay with it either way. And I don't wish you anything other than love and compassion on your journey, mm-hmm. no matter where we land, right? Like,
I concur.
It's just, and it's beautiful to live that way. It used to be so hard because everything hurt me to my core. Everything was so painful. It was like, oh, why don't they like me? What am I doing wrong? What am I failing? You know, and every day sucked. I'm not kidding. Every day sucked. It was so hard. And then I found self-love and self-trust and self-worth. And now I'm like, this is me. And if I can be of service in any way to anyone along the path, the road, the journey, whatever you want to call it, I'm in. Cause I think we're supposed to connect with certain people and we help each other rise, whatever that means. I don't even know if there's a direction to it, but you know what I mean?
You can say raise consciousness. That's a safe one to say it. Yeah. I totally agree with what you're saying. I had a conversation recently with a friend and we were talking about, you know, when you learn all this information, like I was talking about different histories, right? And alternate history and the Civil War and, you know, World War One and all this stuff. And I was like, you know, when I first found this out, I used to try to tell everybody that would want to hear it. But now I realize that some people just aren't ready. And then I had to look and see why I needed to tell everybody and why I needed to convince everybody. And it just came from a place where I wanted to validate myself, you know, with other people's opinions and be like, oh, isn't this great? So then I knew that I was on the right track because I didn't trust myself, you know.
100%. Yeah, when I first started, like I was so grateful for all the healing and the like the way I felt anew. And I just wanted it for everybody else. It was like I was pushing it. It doesn't work that way. And I don't even know that I would go so far as to say they're not ready. I would just say it's not where they're at. You know,
because yeah, ready
implies there's some sort of like implies that there's some sort of like, I don't know. I guess there is stuff we have to do to be open to receiving, but ready implies some sort of like a lack. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah, some, I was going to say in the case of
like you're better than them or something.
Yeah. What I was going to say in the case of like the alternate history, or even you could say like conspiracy stuff. We've said this before though, but some people are just, they just don't care because they're living their life and it could even be a form of escapism, which, you know, I still engage in forms of escapism. So I'm not judging, but it's kind of like we're buzzkilling their good time, you know, like,
I mean, sometimes ignorance is bliss, right? I mean, we talk about that. It's such a cliche saying, but I mean, I think avoidance is a part of everyone's life. Whether you call it avoidance or escapism, or, I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, cause I think that's the first step to discovery. I think when we actually like go, oh, I've been avoiding this thing. Why? Like there's an awareness there. Once you see it, you can't unsee it, which we say all the time with my clients. Like we just like, they've even said it to me like, oh, I saw that. Now I can't unsee it. And that's usually our first thing, right? Like, oh, I hate that piece of myself, or I, you know, whatever, pick the thing. And it's like, but then they come to the realization, I actually love that piece of myself. It's teaching me a lesson. It's helping me grow. But the instinctive like, is there. We don't want to see those parts that we think are ugly. We don't want to see those parts that we are ashamed of. You know, it's like we're talking to shadow now. Shadow, inner child. I mean, the ages, you know, I have millions. So many ages in my life where it's like, you need to go back and heal her. You need to go back and talk to her. She needed some love. What did she need to hear in that moment? I can go back now and just say, yeah. Oh, this is a cool thing about Reiki. This is a kind of a fun little story. I had a student ask me, because we were talking about distance Reiki. And in distance Reiki, like you can go back into time or go forward in time and heal the exact moment that needs to be healed. It's amazing. It's beautiful. And one of my students said, Do you think that like you now, or you that opened to Reiki, has gone back to moments in your life that were trauma or pain and sent yourself Reiki? And I got the goosebumps right away when she said it. And I almost started crying because I was like, holy shit, that's huge. And I was like reflecting and I said, you know, I said, there have definitely been dark days in my life where I had a pocket of light and I didn't know where it came from. And I probably just chalked it up to, you know, faith or somebody praying for me or something like that. And maybe it was that too. Mm-hmm. And I said, but when you asked me that question, I got the goosebumps. And I do think that I've gone now and given myself Reiki to 3-year-old me, we'll just say, right? And helped like that girl. And it's like, whoa, that like makes my head spin, but also stops me in my tracks. And I take a breath like, wow. And I get the goosebumps when I say it every time, which just is so validating for me because my goosebumps are my spiritual, like, yes, pay attention. We're supporting you. We're guiding you. Listen, all of that. So I don't know. That's pretty cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing.
That so resonates with me.
I was going to say, I feel like we're in cycles, right? We get caught in these cycles and we just keep popping out of them. And then we elevate to the next level of consciousness and we're in another cycle. And I love what you said about sending it back, because the way how they talk about how time is the way we perceive it, you know, time doesn't really exist. Everything's kind of just happening at once. So, yeah, I wonder if we actually change the past in that way. You know, it could be with the way this realm works.
That too. I got the goosebumps when you said that too. I do feel like I feel, and you know, this is all like, I mean, if you get really out there, it's like, it's all just light and energy and doesn't really matter, but it does because we're in the human experience. So it does matter. But I feel like the healing and I feel it in so many levels of my life, but I feel like the healing that I'm doing and that I've been working on with myself, which then translates into working with others to hold space for them to choose their own self-healing, It's ancestral. It's lineage. It goes beyond you. It helps those before you and those beyond you. It feels like it's so, relationships are softer. People come to you that just you wouldn't expect. I just had this conversation with a client this morning. We were doing a one-to-one session and she's like, Michelle, she just took the Reiki training. And she was just like, my world is changing. I've had conversations with people that have been magical. I've had like these syncs that have been happening. And when you said Reiki changed your life, like you weren't kidding. And it's like, I take it, it's changing yours too, you know? And it's like, yeah, I mean, it's incredible.
That's amazing. The talking about the going back to a past version of yourself and like forgiving or like sending Reiki or sending love. That's just like really resonates with me right now. Cause I was talking about it to a friend just yesterday. And then I was thinking about it yesterday and today and trying to think of moments in my life where I might have needed something like that and trying to go back to a past version of myself. And it's funny because I can't even remember if it was yesterday or the day before, but I was feeling some kind of way. I was just like, I don't know if I was like emotional or whatever. I don't know what was going on in the zodiac, but like I was just like in a funk. And I pulled a card because I was just like, what is going on here? Like, I don't know what to do. And I pulled a card and it was the moon card. And I was just like, you know what I'm talking about. Thank you, source. Like shadow work. Hello. Like in the shadows, in the darkness, do the work. Like,
yeah. And be willing to be uncomfortable. It's just a thing.
That's totally resonating.
That going back in time thing too, because if you think about you perceive that something was done to you that was wrong and you have resentment for it, or you might have trauma, or you're holding on to something. But at the end of the day, it's just something that unfolded in the universe that you haven't accepted fully, no matter what it was. And people pass this down and they take it personally. And at that moment, you know, now you learn what that was and you could kind of go back and change the whole progression of what that energy is, because everybody's taking it as negative energy because it could have just been, it's like that pass it on thing, right? Where somebody could have, you know, five people generations ago pissed off the one person, then it just kept rolling downhill till it got to the person that offended you somehow. They took it personally. Everyone back in that history took it personally, but then when it came to you, you didn't, you transmuted it. So you took that out of the world. And it's kind of like if there was a bunch of waves going in a pond, you're just kind of taking those waves away, you know, or you're letting them dissipate naturally instead of perpetuating them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's amazing.
I think I want to be really clear about this, which is maybe a counterintuitive being a Reiki teacher, but I don't think you need Reiki to do these things. I think you can go back in time and send yourself love by simply setting the intention to do so. Right. I mean, yeah. I think there's a fast track to Reiki, and there's ways we can use Reiki that are very pinpointed. And also, it's not required.
You know, I think it's like everything in the way that I believe this realm works, it has a lot to do with our belief. And if we could find something to focus our belief in that we believe is going to work for us, then it's going to work. That's why I say there's no one path for just any person. So it's kind of like a talisman or a symbol. This Reiki and the energy that you put out, it's a symbol, and you know that that's how you're going to do it and that's how you conduct it. But people can do it other ways, just like you said, any way that works for whoever, you know. It's not like we're just claiming this one thing, but yeah, exactly. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not attached to, I made that clear about the Thai massage. I'm just not attached to, I get that all the things that happen at Jai D aren't for everyone, and that's okay. Like, we all find our own things that bring us healing on any given moment, and it depends on what needs healing in any given moment. And it's never ending, you know, like there's always more to heal. I'm not done. I have so much more to do. I have so much more to move through. but I've moved through a lot. And because I've moved through a lot, because I overcame, let's just use my Reiki as an example, because I overcame my fear of what it might be versus what it now feels to be, I'm a good bridge from point A to point B, because I understand both sides of that. I understand the journey from, you know, from that place of fear and denial and what ifs to a newfound confidence in what this actually feels like and how it shows up in the world for me without an attachment for how it has to show up for you. I think that's important. I think everything at JID is all about a safe space. So that means I'm not dictating to you how it's supposed to go. It means I'm offering you tools and planting seeds and saying, take the ones that work for you. And if you get stuck along the way, like, I'm here to help you either find new resources that will be more beneficial to you or to share with you experiences and tools and my areas of expertise that could also be helpful for you. So just,
I love that.
I think sometimes we get attached to, because it's comfortable and safe for us, doesn't mean that it's comfortable and safe for everyone else. Everyone responds to their own movie, so to speak, in their own way. And what we need to heal, to actually go in and look at the root causes, that in and of itself is a very personalized thing. I, you know, another story of me resisting Reiki, this just cracks me up. And it is my pattern. And I kind of laugh about it. I'm like, I'm sure there's something to uncover here. But when I started teaching Reiki, I had told my teacher, I go, look, I'm going to take level 3 with you again. I have no intention of teaching, so I'll probably never take level 4, but we'll see. You know, I said, I'm not really feeling it. I have so many moving parts. I don't need to add another one. And she's like, okay. And then she taught it again. And I was like, well, I'm just going to come and hold space if that's okay with you. And she's like, sure, that's no problem. And then I got there and man, that attunement hit me before it hit me, you know, and I was super emotional the week before. And I go, I don't know what is going on. I go, but I also feel like this class is going to change everything. And I think I'm actually supposed to teach. And she's like, yep, I felt it coming. she's like, you didn't have students ready yet. And I was like, oh, okay. And then just the other day I was talking to her, we met for lunch and I said, you know, I'm just not really feeling like I want to teach people how to teach. Like, that's just, I mean, I love teaching levels 1, 2, and 3, but like teaching people how to give attunements and teach Reiki, that just seems like another thing to add to my thing. And I don't really want to, I'm not really feeling like that's coming. And she looked at me and she laughed and she goes, Michelle. And I'm like, uh-oh, like what? She's like, your students aren't ready yet. Like, you're going to end up teaching people how to teach. Like, you know that, right? And as soon as she said it, it dropped in. And I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. Like, like then 2 days later, or maybe it was a week later, students start asking me, are you going to teach people how to teach? And I was like,
that is so funny.
Eventually, but I need to have a group, you know, cause that's a year long mentorship program. That's like a full blown, like deep dive. We're holding space. Like, I'm here at your beck and call as much as you need. I'll support you in teaching your first classes, like all of that stuff. And so I was just like, dang. So the 5 of cups is really like the fact that it's, you know, kind of leaving something behind and stepping into something new. My entire business, I'm restructuring the whole thing, and I don't even like, it's coming in, but it's not all the way in yet. But I know that I can't keep saying yes to things without restructuring the things that were happening before, because my whole thing is like, if I'm a jack of all trades, then I'm not showing up fully in any of them, and I can't do that. Like, I have to manage my energy and my resources and what is meant for me now appropriately, so that I'm not, I use less than, but I don't mean that I'm more than, I just mean that I'm showing up fully to be in the best service that I can possibly be to the people that walk through the doors. Because I think healing is fragile. And I think if you don't have a safe space that's willing to just shut up and listen, says the girl who's talking.
You're no, the I, guest. I love that. Hello.
It reminds me a lot of DJing, because coming up as a DJ, I used to DJ clubs, bars, weddings, kids events, bar mitzvahs, like everything. Yeah, bar mitzvahs. And now I mostly focus on weddings. I'll do other stuff here and there, or other kind of private parties for people, but it's made me like a master at doing the weddings. And now when I meet with people, it's the same thing as you said. The owner meets with clients, the one that owns the company, and if they don't fit what he thinks we want to do and they're not going to be cool and fun, he just says, we're booked, because it's not worth the headache. And it's the same thing you said. Sometimes people just aren't the right fit and they're looking for something else. And you don't have to take that inside internally as like an insult or whatever. You just realize that it's because you're not the one for them, or maybe they're just not ready.
Yeah. Nothing is about me. The only shit that's about me is my own shit. The rest of it is not about me. It's not about me. And really taking that pause has been life-changing for me. Cause not only that, not only like how I like show up in space with other people, how I show up in space for myself. Like sometimes I'm like, uh-oh, felt that. That was a thing that I need to, like, I'm going to react versus respond in this. If I don't take a pause and take a breath to get out of whatever conditioning I've had to make me show up in a way that isn't how I want to show up. So it's like, I'm constantly trying, it doesn't always work, but trying to find that pause to be in awareness so that I can show up with intention. I want to be mindful and intentional. I have a big summit coming up this weekend and it's been crazy busy the last couple of weeks. And I just keep thinking, mind your energy, go to bed on time. Like, you know, take care of yourself. Cause this has been a big holding space 2 weeks. And if you're not able to be on, then you can't do this. So it's how I manage. Like, I didn't used to show up in that way. I used to just be like, well, whatever, I'll get through it. I can always get through it. It's like, yeah, no, I don't want to show up exhausted and completely depleted. I want to show up fired up and ready to go. Let's do this. This is big work we're doing. We're unpacking some serious stuff. People are looking at things for the first time, even if it's just simply, oh my God, I control everything. That's a big awareness to find if you don't know that you're doing that. That's a huge awareness. And then to start going, because when you start realizing there's things, like when people find out, I'm using myself as an example. when I found out that I was controlling everything, like I realized I'm a freaking asshole. I'm a total jerk to people because I'm trying to control all the things. And then, you know, and then I start beating myself up and then it becomes this like self-destruct before I self-build. It's that tower thing again. And I don't know. It's just like, that's a process for me. I definitely went into self-destruct, like beat myself up. Like you have been a jerk to some of your best friends all because you needed to feel safe, but you didn't even once consider that they might also need to feel safe. And how about a conversation versus a dictation? You know,
It's funny. It reminds me when you're talking, it's kind of like when we first start out, we have it inverted where we think we can control everything on the outside. We don't think we control what's on the inside, right? We have all these emotions and stuff happens. And then once you realize that you don't have control really of the exterior world, you just have control of the way that you feel about what happens. And you could control that and you don't have to be a victim and all that stuff. Yeah, it's that moment. It's amazing.
It's incredible. This is a vulnerable moment for me in that I've been trying to post more. I've been encouraged to, like, on my personal page, post more about what I do, how I show up, and my just me, who I am. And I had listened to I don't even remember what it was, some interview. I think it was Dr. Gabor Mate. I'm not even sure how to say his name, but I think that's it. And I'm pretty sure it was him. And he had said in the interview, someone else may have caused the trigger, but who's holding the ammo? And that literally took my breath away because I was like, oh, dang it. Like, I'm providing the ammo. I'm giving them the power to have the power over me to cause the thing because I haven't unpacked it enough or looked at it deep enough or forgiven myself or, you know, like there's so many different layers to all of that. But I just remember seeing that and I was like, I really want to post this on my page, but I don't want it to be quite that harsh. But also, like, sometimes harsh is required. And I think I remember just saying, this brought up a whole lot of shit for me, you know, anyone else. But also, what would it be like if you were actually the one where the ammo, like, you get to choose if you put it there or not. And my choice is like, how about we just don't take that stuff on? How about we just look at what we need to look and heal? And I'm making that sound way easier than it is. It's not, but damn, it's worth it, you know?
Well, like you said, you get into your head first and then you have to absorb it into your heart, you know? So you can learn all these things, but sometimes it takes a while to put them into practice. Sometimes it's like really quick though, you know, but
yeah.
It's not logical. Like you were saying before, we work from the logical mind. And this is something I wanted to say earlier too, where you kind of have to overcome the logical mind and go beyond logic and feel, I guess, the truth, because it's always moving so much, you know, the truth. It's like, I don't know. It's hard to explain in some senses.
No, I know exactly what you're saying. I mean, my new thing is where logic meets magic. Cause I feel like that's, if you were to put Jaidi in a nutshell, that's it.
Oh, I like that. You're going to say something, Sharon?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I used to say this phrase a lot, that you have to be mentally ready for something too. Like if you're going to do something, you can't just do it without like having really been mentally prepared to go there.
So. I think mind, body, spirit ready. Like you have to have the trifecta to be ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're all trinity. Pieces. What'd you say?
I said the ultimate trinity.
Yeah, mind, body, spirit, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It's one thing I like about Reiki, to circle back to that, is like level one is the physical. So Reiki healing shows you what's not in alignment with your soul in a nutshell. Like I'm simplifying, but so Reiki one is all about the physical body. Reiki two is about the mental, emotional body. And then Reiki three is the spiritual body. So it's like this, the journey of my physical body, what's not in alignment for my best and highest good, my mental and emotional body, what's not in alignment for my best and highest good, my spiritual body, what's not in alignment for my best and highest good. And it's like all these things start happening in your life that just mirror, they're everywhere. Can't escape it.
I have a question about that, but I know Brandon wanted to say something.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. That's all right. I think I forgot what I was going to say. It'll come back to me though.
Okay. I was going to say, so we have this this concept of duality, right? Where we are this body versus we are the consciousness that like moves the body and all that, right? So how does like mental, emotional separate from spiritual? Like what's the difference?
Well, I guess how it feels for me, if I think about Reiki attunements, just if I'm just looking at it there. Like when I have my level one attunement, the first time I got bronchitis, I'm not saying you're going to get sick. I'm just saying for me, I was super resistant to it. This is my trouble area where my stuff shows up, and that's how it manifested for me.
When you were learning it or when you were
When I was the very first class I took, I actually blocked that attunement, at least part of it. And then I still got bronchitis. Spirit was like, we're just going to show you all the things right here. Okay, great. But for my level two attunements, it feels like all of the relationships in your life like reveal what they really are. So in other words, like the ones that aren't for your best and highest good get really complicated. And usually there's some tension or conflict, or they'll choose to walk away, or you'll choose to walk away. It really is. That's how it worked for me, where it was like, oh, okay. I see how I'm showing up. I see how they're showing up. I see this isn't working. Why am I hanging on to something that is not for my best and highest good or theirs? Right. Like,
absolutely. So,
but the spiritual piece, I feel like for me, is more of like, it's that deep knowing. Okay. Or like the resistance to the deep knowing. So it on some level, the mental, emotional feels still more like humanness, right? Like that mind stuff.
Like egoic, maybe a little bit.
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's how it feels to me. I'm not saying it feels that way. Some people never ever feel their attunements, but I just, you know, and I don't think the relationship thing happened after my first attunement. I just think over time I've had enough attunements where I'm like, oh, that's how this one feels, or even how symbols feel, right? Because like the symbols have different purposes and things, and that's how it feels to me.
Okay, thank you.
I remember what I was going to say, and actually it falls in alignment with this. I feel like the mind, body, and spirit in this realm, they're separated, but I feel like in other realms, it's all kind of just one thing together. Maybe when we are just pure energy, or however it works, it's all as one. But now, because we're in this realm and it's a physical realm and we're split and we're divided, that's where why we actually have free will and that stuff. And that's kind of, I guess, maybe what we're here to either overcome or figure out or whatever it is. But that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Three become one.
Right. It's also complicated. And I do, like, in my heart of hearts, like I do, like in that soul space for me, I just have this like yearning for people to feel less pain and more love, to know what it feels like to really be, even if it's just for a split second, to be in that space of just, I don't know, words that are coming in are peace, serenity, calm, love. There's like this, like surrender, right? There's this exhale in those moments where there's no pain, there's no mental conflict, there's no turmoil. It's just your being. Yeah. Like you're just in, you're just there, you're just being. Yeah. Like there's a softness that is in that. There's an ease there. There's a knowing there. There's like this, it's nothing and everything all at the same time. And it's so good.
Like a feeling of being accepted, like by others and by your own self.
Yeah. And I think what I'm discovering is that the more I accept all of me, the less I care about what others think of me, but the more I care about others. If that makes sense.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah.
That's yeah, wonderful. Totally. Because people don't know what's always good for you or for them, or, you know, so you don't have to take their opinion, but you could still, because technically by doing that and by showing yourself self-love and all that stuff, you're showing up to be a better person for them. So you're actually, you are helping them.
Yeah. And people feel that.
Yeah.
Like I used to think all that was baloney mahoney and man, people feel it. People feel you.
Yeah. You can
on
just
an
tell,
energetic level.
Yeah. Especially like I'll give my example when I show up to DJ weddings and stuff and I have to work with new people, you could just tell right away, because if you act in a way where you're not coming from a place of fear, you're technically, your vibration's higher, you know, and they just feel it the way you interact with them. And then they are able to interact as a better self, I guess, too, if they choose to, whatever. But yeah, you could totally sense it around other people. You just basically raise them up to your vibration, because I feel it is all about vibration at the end of the day. Because I remember when certain circumstances I would get in before and I'd have to either work with somebody or hang out with somebody or whatever, it would suck me down. You know, but now I'm like up here and they're either coming up a little bit or they're just moving away, you know?
Yeah. I feel like the more light and the more vibration you bring in, the less the energy vampires of the world, just whatever that is, right? Human form or otherwise, the less they affect you.
Yeah. And you can even start to bring them up, especially if they're on the edge. You know, some people are so on the edge, they're like kind of like a bipolar, you know?
Yeah, and the less they affect you, but the more you affect them, right? That's kind of where you're going with that. Yeah, exactly. It's amazing. It's amazing.
I feel like I've been hearing that.
What's that?
I just said, I feel like I've been hearing people say stuff like that about, like, you're the way you are and how you're, if like a quote, higher vibration, you're going to raise that around the people around you. Like you don't like, I think it was an Aaron Abke video that I just watched. Was it Brandon Dyson?
It could have been. And David R. Hawkins, Dr. David R. Hawkins talks about stuff like this too, because he has that whole scale from like 0 to 1,000 on consciousness levels. And he said that there's some people that are just really high just by them existing. They basically help the world or whatever people around them because they bring it up. Just from being in existence.
Yeah. And it's hard because I hesitate to say good, bad, higher, lower, right? Like it's like, but I think there are different frequencies and some people feel better over here in this frequency and some people feel better over here in this one and some people feel better over here and some up here and some down there and it doesn't, but when your vibration changes, I will say the people around you, some of them are like, yeah, I need more of that. You feel so good. Like, I don't know what you did different, but you look great. You feel great. You sound great. Like, right. Like that happens. Yeah. And then other people are like, I don't know if I trust you anymore. You feel different. You know? Right. And then other people are like, I need to soak you up. Come give me a hug, you know?
Right.
It's amazing how, like, when you evolve, I'll just say it that way, maybe, how people in your world, and then the new people that come in and engage and interact. And sometimes I think, like, all of that is another way of, like, spirit or universe or source showing you like how much, like there was somebody that came to my studio. I'm just going to give an example because it's hard to explain. There's somebody that came to my studio. I was teaching a class. It happened to be a Reiki class. And he was looking at my windows and I'm like, oh, here we go. Like, I know what's going to happen right now. I feel it coming. And he walked in and he felt the need to save us, right? Because we were not in alignment with his vibration. And there was a time where that would have absolutely stopped me in my tracks, thrown me for a loop. I would have a hard time going back to teaching. I would have felt shame and guilt. And I would have had a hard time setting a healthy boundary and sending him on his merry little way. And I handled it totally different. And I was completely fine with him coming and sharing what he felt was really important to him. And I said, thank you very much. You know, blessings to you. And I wish you a great day. And I'm going to get back to teaching my class now. And it was a beautiful exchange. But old me, I say old me, I'm always the same, but I'm evolving. Old me would have absolutely freaked out over that. I would have been like, oh, I would have second guessed whether or not I should be teaching. I would have second guessed whether or not I was doing the right thing. I would have second guessed if I was harming people. I would have unpacked that on levels that were ridiculous. And I just remember thinking,
that's awesome. I love it.
It was like validation, you know, and I knew that I wasn't that way anymore, but it was like an aha moment of, oh, huh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I got to celebrate that win for myself, which is something I talk about with people all the time too, because I don't think we do that.
I love that.
I don't think as we're growing, I don't think we go, woohoo, we did it, you know?
Yeah.
And we need to.
Yeah. I need to feel that.
I'm constantly reminding people to do that, you know, go celebrate, do something, like acknowledge it, you know.
Yeah, put it out there into the universe.
Makes it real too.
Yeah. It's energy. It's good.
Yeah, absolutely love it. Yeah. I had a question from back earlier. You were talking about this friend I think you had done some Reiki for in her throat chakra. And I wanted to know, like, how does that come to you? Did you at that, maybe even at that time, or even how it's different now, but like, were you just like doing your thing? And then all of a sudden you were like, you thought of your friend and you're like, oh, I feel something here. I'm going to work on that. Or how did that happen?
So it was a planned distance session. Okay. I was practicing. And so she knew that I wanted feedback from her and she knew that I would be working with her.
Okay.
So I always get permission. I'm not, okay. I don't just throw it out there. I don't force hugs on people. I don't force Reiki on people. It just feels the same to me. I'm like, nope. And if I have any doubt in my mind, I'll just be like, okay.
Woke Reiki.
But so and all of my trainings, even starting with Thai massage, involved at least some chakra information. So when I do like a body scan or an energy scan, I typically start with the chakras along the spine, the seven main ones. And so I'll kind of, you know, run my hands over where I envision them to be on my mat or table or wherever I am. And then that was just, it just kept buzzing right at her throat chakra. Often I lay out chakra stones. So that gives me a visual representation of their energy, makes it easier for me to work and remember where I am. And it just, every time I would scan, it was like, okay, we're just, I guess we're hanging out here today. Like this is where we're going to be. We're going to be at the heart chakra or the throat chakra. And it just was a lot. It was the loudest one. And so when I shared that with her and then she told me, I was like, oh, that's amazing. I think I saw the color blue that session. I think I saw like a blue animal that session. It's just like everything was in alignment of pointing to that throat chakra. I was like, all right, well, I'm getting the message loud and clear. Thank you. You know? And then it turned out that it was, again, because at that time I wasn't 100% like set in my belief of my skills because I didn't feel anything, which is another reason, like one of my favorite things is teaching level one. Well, I love all the levels. Level one is actually the most challenging for me to teach because it's all like that heady logical stuff that you got to get out to get the foundation before you move into the symbols and all that stuff. But watching students have that moment where they go, oh, I felt something, you know, is amazing because everybody is so filled with self-doubt. I was that way when I started and I still have moments where I'm like, I felt zero things on that session. Zero. I felt zero things. And then I'm telling you, sometimes those are the sessions. It's rare for me to feel zero things now, but there was a time well into my journey where that was a thing. And they'll come back and they'll be like, Michelle, you have no idea what happened between the last time you saw me. That last Reiki session that you gave me was incredible. All these things fell into place. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, what? And that's where I've just learned surrender, trust that Reiki is divinely guided. It is spiritually guided healing energy, and it will do whatever the heck is it's time for.
I love that. That's so awesome. It's very encouraging because I have some of the tuning forks that Eileen McCusick invented, I guess created, sells on her website. And I have her book and everything. And I do like practice sessions, like on my own self and like on Cody or on people that are open to it and want just like, I just want to practice. Right. So, and it, like you said, like, if you don't, you may not feel anything, but someone else may feel something. And, I think he'll be okay if I say this. Alex, our friend Olive Tree Bear, he called me one day and he was like, something had happened. It was like the strangest, most odd thing. He was in a bit of a fear panic mode. And he's like, I don't know what to do. I just thought to myself, are you open to me putting some forks, distant session of the tuning forks? And he was like, sure. So I did. And like immediately he was like, whoa. Like whatever just happened, like I have this feeling of like whatever was there that was anger or fear, or not anger so much, it's fear and panic, it was like lifting. And then by the time I was done, he was like, it's gone. Like I even like have love for this person that I was fearing.
Wow.
And he's like, I want to go give that guy a hug now. I was like, holy smokes. But yeah, it's very powerful. And I didn't, I hadn't practiced that much when I had done that session for him, but like you said, the energy is going to do what it's ready to do. So
yeah, the power of intention too. Ooh,
absolutely.
Big.
Huge.
Yeah, energy's moving. Think about a ripple in the water. Drop a stone in a lake. What happens?
Mm-hmm.
Energy's moving. Somebody's going to feel it. Excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing.
I love that.
I got to get you to do a session for me, Sharon.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you can absolutely practice. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And Michelle, if you're ever interested, I could...
always
practice.
I did a session with Chance.
Oh, you did?
Dude,
what did you think?
It was powerful. It was amazing.
Oh my gosh.
I love sound healing. I use singing bowls with my sessions and just I just kept hearing that I was supposed to go do that, and we'll go. It was a distance session, right? But
yeah.
I was like, it's time, I'm doing it. And it was so good. Life-changing.
Amazing.
I mean, healing sessions just are. I think any little nugget of healing that we get, whether it's little, big, doesn't matter. There's not a size. It's just any healing, any step in a direction of your soul's purpose. Spot on.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's great awesome. To hear. Did you hear about him through Spoons or through our show? Or okay, through Spoons. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. She had a session, told me about it, asked a million questions. As soon as I started asking all the questions, because they were here, right? I was like, oh, I know what's happening. I know where this is going.
I know I'm getting one of those.
Yeah, I know where this is going. This is going to land. It's going to land well for me. I just need to listen to when the time is right. And it was incredible. It was so good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. I've also had a couple of sessions with Chance too. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. We had him on the show. It was a really, really great, fun talk.
Yeah,
we had a good talk.
And I looked up Michelle's last episode's episode number 26.
Okay, perfect.
So, yeah. Awesome. And something I wanted to ask you, we were talking about in the beginning of the show, this is something that you wrote about, but when you had the experience in the float tank and you something with your mother, do you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah.
You said it was kind of like, what woke you up, right? Like kind of what it was like before you were into all this stuff.
Oh no, I was into all this stuff. The only reason it happened is because I was into this stuff. So oh, okay. I went to a float tank a year, was it on her birthday? I think it was on her birthday. And a friend of mine was like, we're going to breakfast and then we're doing a float tank. And I was okay. And then we are at breakfast and she said, Michelle, your mom wants you to walk her home. It wasn't on her birthday. It was like right after she died. Cause I was like, are you saying she's stuck here? Like, what the hell does that mean? Walk her home. And she was like, no, no, it's not that she's stuck here. She just wants to spend time with you. And I was like, okay. So I had gotten into that. I was going into that float tank with the intention of just tell me what I need to do to work through the grief. Cause that was a bugger to get through, the grief of losing my mom. It was sudden. I didn't expect it. I just was not at all prepared. Not that you ever can be, but I just was complete, was having a hard time accepting it. And I'm like, I know how to do this, but I need help. And so that was my original intention for that float tank. And instead I went in saying, all right, I don't really know what this looks like, but apparently mom wants to walk her home. So I'm open to that, whatever that means. And honestly, I went into that float tank and next thing I know, I had a conversation with my mom, but it was in my mind's eye. It was in my third eye. It was an energetic thing. And I write the whole story in the book, but the long story short of it was, you know, and first, like my mom was a worrier and an anxiety person. And she was hysterical. And so I remember her saying, Michelle, I didn't think this through. And I'm like, what do you mean, mom? You didn't think this through? She goes, well, I'm here. And now she always said she wanted to die before dad because then she wouldn't know what to do if he was gone. And she goes, I'm here. And now I don't know what to do or where to go. And I go, what do you mean you don't know what to do or where to go? And then a bald eagle flew in. And I was like, look, mom, there's an eagle. Like you can take an eagle and go find your mom. My mom lost her mom when she was 8. Mm-hmm. So my mom was always like wanting to see her mom again. And I go, you could take that eagle and you could go see your mom. Go find your mom and dad. I know you want to see them. You've been wanting to see them for a really long time. And she was like, oh, I could never ride an eagle. No way. Like I'm afraid of that. I go, mom, you're a spirit. Like you can be the eagle. And like, ooh, I'm gonna get emotional. she goes, so she did. She like took the eagle. And then I saw my mom as a little girl in braids in this field of flowers. And I was like, oh, she found her mom. And she's at peace. Like she's good. She got where she needed to go. And then I was in the float tank and I heard my text go off, and I see my phone screen again, all in my mind's eye. And it says, I love you, Shell. And I said, I love you too, mom. And that was it. That was the end of it. But my mom never let anybody get the last word. She always spoke last because she didn't want to hang up on somebody or make them feel. So when mom said, I love you, Shell, and I said, I love you too, mom. And then that was it. I had this feeling of just peace and love. And like, I knew my mom was okay. And just after that day in the float tank, it was her birthday because she died June 6th. So 2 months later, August 6th, we did this breakfast in the float tank. And I don't know. It makes me cry. And I thought it's beautiful. I mean, it was an amazing experience. I never would have done that before. There's no way that would have happened because I wouldn't have been open to it. And whether you think it was a dream or I actually connected with my mom, I really don't care. It's mine, right? Like, it was my experience and it was beautiful. And it softened me because I got the message that she's okay. Like she's where she wants to be. And when I left the float tank, I remember thinking, I wonder if I'm going to crave that. I wonder if I'm going to want to like go to a float tank and see mom all the time. And I remember hearing aloud, like, no, that's not what this was about. Like she can come visit you anytime. Like it's not, and you're not going to summon her, you know, it's like, you're good. You've got what you needed in this float tank. And now to be fair, my grief, heavy grief, like cry in the shower in fetal position, sob till you're done grief was about a year and I don't know, a few months. It was a long freaking process. Yeah. I didn't know what grief was until then. I mean, I did, but like, I didn't know how powerful it could be and how much it could just suck your breath away. And until that, and now I'm thinking, all right, I'm back. I feel I'm back. I know I'm back. I'm good. I still miss her like crazy. And no one can take that experience away from me. And Reiki, I believe, gifted me that experience. And that friend being brave enough to tell me my mom wanted me to walk her home. Because I was like, what the fuck does that mean? I'm like, home is heaven to mom. I don't know how to walk to heaven. I mean, I know how to get to heaven, but I don't know how to walk to heaven. Like, what the hell? And she's like, it's not like that, Michelle. She just wants to spend time with you. It's like my third eye is getting loud as I'm telling the story. I'm like, oh, I feel you. You know, it was just, so the whole thing, like without her telling me that, I wouldn't have gone there. And then without me just going in a space of surrender and like, okay, mom, I'm here. What, how can I help? You know? And then it was so her, like the personality, like everything of how that played out was so incredible. Like, oh, it just, it's so good.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, thanks for asking. I don't think I've ever actually shared that one publicly other than in the book, which is writing, which is different.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
That was vulnerable of you, but thank you.
It's good. I mean, I think, you know, energy is energy, right? Like, I'm grateful to have been her daughter. I'm grateful to have had her for a mom for the 51 years that I did. I can't really be mad about that. And I miss her like a beast, man.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
That is.
Yeah.
So back to a little bit of Reiki stuff. How do you teach it right now? Like, not necessarily you yourself, but like in Jai D, in your studio. How does that get taught?
Yeah. So I did one online session and it was good or fine, but I prefer in person. So I teach in person. This year, I actually played my calendar out kind of for the whole year, because last year I tried to teach it every month and that just got to be like, it just didn't feel right. And so this year I'm doing every other month and usually for a whole weekend for one and two. But you don't have to take them back to back. So if you're a person who likes to like learn a thing and then kind of play with it for a little bit and then learn the next step of the thing, then take it a couple months apart or a year apart. I've had students take it 2 years apart. Doesn't matter. Or you can take the whole weekend, just deep dive in level one and two. And then Reiki 3 is a full weekend training. It's 2 days. And so that one, I kind of wait, and you have to wait 6 months after level two, just so that you have some time to practice. Because a lot of level three is like, hey, I did this thing and this happened and I have questions. So it's a lot of like real life Q&A, like this was my experience. I didn't really know what to do, or I had this thing happen. And while students can always reach out and ask those questions, because it's not like, hey, peace out, close the door, you're done. It's more like you chose to take here for as long as I feel like I'm your teacher and your mentor, you can reach out anytime. Like that's how that works. But level three is more intense and in depth. And so that's a full weekend. And that's more, I kind of do it as students are ready. And I don't have a level four planned, but I know it's coming.
So what level four would be the teaching the teacher, like teaching someone how to teach?
Correct.
That's level four?
Teaching someone how to teach. Yep. Oh, and so that's a year-long program. But what you do like quarterly, weekend, or maybe even it's just a one-day workshop like four times out of that year. And then, but you're available throughout the year to help them, like they can teach their first. So I think how it goes is you're a Reiki master practitioner, but you're not a Reiki master teacher until you teach your first class and have students. And this is all just the way the living tradition, you know, goes. I mean, I understand that structure and certificates and all of those things are important for things, but also I'm not attached to certificates. I think we can learn things without them. I also don't think you have to do Reiki in that way. I think people can receive Reiki without having an attunement. But I think that if you're looking, I also feel like having a mentor and guidance is important. So it's like that tricky little balance of, do I think people need an attunement from a Reiki master teacher? No, I think it can happen without that. But also, I think if you really want to dive in and embrace the tradition, find yourself a teacher you resonate with and go that route, you know?
I like that because it's it gives people options. And like we were talking about earlier, not everybody is on the same identical path. Like everybody's a little bit more unique than the next person.
Yeah, and people learn differently.
Yeah.
Some people are great self-learners. Some people, that is their jam and they can do it. I am not that person. I need a lot of different, like I took Reiki from, I think, 3 or 4 different teachers. I think it was 4 different teachers because I just needed to. I wanted to explore it. I still might take from another one. I really enjoy learning and seeing people's different perspectives and how they work with it. And I do have a friend who teaches online. So if people are interested in online, I can connect them with her too. I'm not feeling the online thing. And I say that and I'm waiting for spirit to hit me with a 2x4 when I say it, because every time I say stuff like that, I'm not feeling it in the now. I'll say it that way. I'm open to whatever comes my way or whatever feels like is the right next thing. But in the now, I very much enjoy in-person classes. And I'm dabbling a little bit with like online stuff. Like I'm going to do a tarot, like learn to read tarot class, like on Facebook with Facebook Lives. And then it's just there for them as a resource center. But I'm not really feeling like Reiki's going to go that way. We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you also have a book that's coming up that you're going to write next. Tell us a little bit about how that came about.
Yeah, that's my Choose Yourself book. And so this is another one of those where I resisted. Dan was like, you're going to write a book. And I was like, I'm so not writing books. He's like, you're going to write several books. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not writing books. That's not my thing. And then we kind of wrote together this Healthy Boundaries journal and oracle deck that's, you know, like basically walks you through the steps of healthy boundaries in 52 weeks. And that was the beginning. That was the opener. And then I just wrote this Reiki manual that turned into a book. But the one that's been on my radar has been my Choose Yourself book, which will be, you know, my Choose Yourself program has grown from, you know, little small classes in my basement to now weekend summits. And we do day retreats in between the summits because those are quarterly. And then I also just started a mastermind program where people can just really, I mean, it is full blown dive in, find your stuff and choose to heal kind of a program with support of this amazing community that are like the best people in the world. Well, I mean, I have a lot of best people in the world in my world, right? You guys are part of that. But there's just so many, there's something about being in a community where people are all working on different things and that they're their own, but the same thing, and that we want to heal and show up in the world in our own power and authentically true to who we are. Like, that's the goal.
And they local?
They are right now, but they wouldn't have to be. So it's a Zoom calls once a week. If they're local and they want to come to the studio for a Thai massage and Reiki session, like combined, like we'll just see where we go, what healing needs to happen today. That can happen as well. Sometimes we'll go do like pop-up, like we just went to an escape room, just spur the moment. But I also have an online resource center, and then we do once a month group Zoom meetings. And then we're going to start in February, we're going to do once a month like teachings. Like I'm going to bring in my resources, like my teachers and people that I know that also teach things, and bring them in to share, so that we're just building this whole, you know, community and library of things that can help us dive in, but also be supported in the diving in. And I'm partnering with a friend who's a therapist. And so she can, from an educational standpoint, teach us ways that we can help work with our brains better, in a more healthy way. So it's really important to be holistic in this, because when we start looking at inner child and shadow work and healing, deep healing, it can get intense and really messy, says the girl who it was intense and is still really messy. It's less intense now. I feel like even when I start uncovering things and I have another thing that happens, I'm like, oh shit, here we go again. Where are we going this time? I'm more like that than like, oh my God, I can't do this. What do I do? You know, like I'm good with like being in that mess of the chaos of healing. But you know, it's still uncomfortable. And are you kidding me? The number of times I said, are you kidding me? Like, and also thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're welcome. I see that you have a deck behind you. It looks like a Luna Soul deck.
I have a Light Seers deck.
Oh, Light Seers. Oh yeah, that's one. You want to pull a card and we could wrap it up. We'll see what kind of...
Sure.
I was watching that like throughout the whole, what were you going to say, Sharon?
Well, I was going to say she has her own deck of her Oracle deck that you said you have a deck, your own deck.
I do. You want one from there too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one I wanted from.
You want that one instead?
I can. Sure. Brandon,
Maybe both.
Brandon's right. Like both.
Yeah, he might, I mean, we already said it, so we might as well, you know. And yeah, it's funny because I have one of those light seer tarots in my room that I look at all the time. That's why I kept seeing it back there. I'm like, oh.
That's the one I gave you, right, Brandon?
Yeah, yeah.
At the retreat.
Yep.
Such a good deck. All right. Anything specific or just what we need to know today for our best and highest good?
Exactly.
That's my favorite. Arrow gets me out of a loop. All right. Ooh, we got the Ace of Wands. We're going places, people.
Ooh, look at that. Ace. I like it.
I love aces. All new beginnings. Steps in line nicely with the Five of Cups.
Yeah, new beginnings. I've been getting new beginning cards.
Really?
New beginning things. Well, maybe not card necessarily, but like I looked up a spirit animal the other day. I think it was a vulture. I think because I saw vultures the other day and I was like, okay, I don't see these guys. So and then I saw one flying around, and then I saw another one like a little bit later with it. Like, so there were two of them, and I'm like, I saw ravens too that day, two ravens. And I had seen the raven before, but this was like, now it was two ravens and two vultures. And I'm like, okay, yeah. I'm going to look this up. So
what's funny is we're going to end up pulling two cards from the Healthy Boundaries deck because we got the section title you need to change. That's one of the section titles, which is hysterical. That's so I'll read the next one too.
Okay.
The next one is card.
That's number a new beginning card.
I know, right? And so this is card number 33. So think 1 to 52. You don't need to justify, apologize for, or rationalize your healthy boundaries. If they don't like them, they're the fucking problem.
Wow, 33.
That is hilarious.
Well, there you go.
I was just thinking of that number earlier. Yeah.
Good number.
Yeah. People see it a lot.
Yeah, like I like that you get the one that says you need to change. That's going to be great for people watching this.
I know, right out of the boat, just right out of the gate. They're very direct, I will say. We don't really beat around the bush.
If you think about it, everything is in constant flow in this realm and everything is always changing. So it's not telling you, it's not just a command, but it can also be an observation. You know, like you need to change because everything changes. So you will change.
Change is inevitable. Yeah. Nothing is constant. Nothing is absolute.
Yeah. Wow.
Absolutely.
Double meanings.
Double meanings. They're everywhere.
Awesome. Well, Sharon, you have anything else? Anything else we need to cover?
I think that was it. I think we have your links, and if not, you can send us some links and we can post them in the description for sure.
Yeah, and you could tell people now your website and everything.
JaideeWellness.com. JAIDEE wellness.com. Jaideen means kind hearted in Thai.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome. And that, I'm guessing that's Thailand behind you.
Yeah. It is Thailand behind me.
Yeah, I almost said something when we first started, but I forgot. Yeah,
that's where it all began. That's my start over there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, first I'd like to give a shout out to the chat because we premiere these every Thursday night at 8:33 p.m. and we have a really fun chat going
Eastern
on. So
time.
Eastern time. Yes, exactly. I thought there was only one. No, New York time, guys, the real time. No. So come and join us. It's a lot of fun. And make sure if you want to support us, the best way you can do it is to leave comments, subscribe, share this around and overshare it. You can go to a website is morelawsmoreproblems.com, which is now exactly 10 years old because I got my renewal notice. So I'm going to be paying for it in about a week or so. So yeah, check out morelawsmoreproblems.com. You can click on the oversharing tab. And you can go back and look at all the fun blogs that I've been doing for over, 10 years now. So check it out. And I think that's it. So what do we say to the good people, Sharon?
That once you start oversharing,
then you totally aren't a Karen. What was I supposed to say? Oh, you totally stopped Karen.
You stop being a Karen.
You totally stop Karen about the stupid things. Anyway, we'll see you guys next week. Bye.